He is Mark Allen Cabali, and I didn't know his middle name until about 3 minutes ago.
Yeah,
I'm Christopher. I'm Christopher Mack. This is Cabali and Mack. Good morning, everyone.
By the way, I just found out a couple minutes ago my middle name was Allen too.
Yeah?
Because it's not.
No, it is now. We've changed it. We've officially changed it. Cody Sanders on YouTube was mad that we were running a couple minutes late, and he said, Mark Allen Cabali, 10:30 means 10:30. So we're sorry, Cody, but we're here. Welcome into the latest edition of Cabali and Mack. Don't forget to subscribe on YouTube. You'll get notified as soon as we go live. A couple times a week we do this. And of course, you can subscribe. If you like the audio-only version, if for whatever reason these faces aren't doing it for you, we're on iTunes, we're on Spotify. And you can always watch the live stream. Don't forget to retweet it out to your millions and millions of followers, Kaboom, on X. So put that out there right now, Mr. Million Impression.
It's out there. It's up. We're live. We're live on X right now, I see. We're like big time in it.
Live on X, also on Facebook, and on YouTube. And don't forget, you can still become a sponsor. Got a couple people lined up that will start once we flip the calendar to February, and possibly a couple more people. So we're busy. We're busy guys. We're in demand, Mark. You realize that?
Yeah, demand, I guess, if that's what you say. You're the brains behind the operation. I'm just a pretty face.
If I'm the brains, then we're screwed, man, because I couldn't get my headphones to work for like 5 minutes. That's why we were late.
Yeah, you typically rip on my background. It was you that screwed up this time.
I screwed up this time. I did. Did you? Real quick, before we're going to completely break down the Art Rooney II meeting with the media yesterday, because you were one of about a dozen people there. We want to go over some of the responses he had to the questions that were asked. Cause I think, you know, I busted balls a lot and I said, hey, he's not going to say anything. And I still don't think he said much, but I think we can read into some of the answers maybe a little bit. That's what we do after something like this is we take a 22 minute conversation he has with you beat reporters and parse every little single word and try to figure out what he means by all of it. We'll do that with at least half a dozen different responses that we found interesting from Art Rooney II yesterday in just a second. But, Mr. WWE, did you stay up and watch Raw on Netflix last night?
Yeah, you know, I was a little late because I was a little late getting my story published.
Mm-hmm.
So I jumped on late Netflix. And what I found out, too, is even if you start late, they dump the commercials out. It's great.
Yeah, it's awesome. I didn't start until like 10:15 last night, and I was done watching it by midnight. It was perfect. Yep. Maybe not by midnight, maybe a little after midnight, but they even did like a false ending. Did you notice that?
Yeah, you know, they've been switching things up a little bit of how they go about their business. Normally, it's a match and something happens, and they're like, oh, we'll see you next week. Now it was like Cody laying in the middle of the ring saying, oh, this is a good view from up here.
So they gave us
the end of it was interesting.
The way they ended it was really interesting because they ran the Made in Georgia bumper that they have to run for anything that's filmed in Georgia. And I was like, oh, it's over. And I was literally grabbing my remote, getting ready to hit exit on Netflix. And then they cut back to the ring, like you said, and Cody's laying in the corner and he's talking about the view. And I'm like, oh, I wonder if he's going to lay into Reigns because the Roman Reigns 2K25 banner had come down earlier. And Heyman had an interesting conversation with Drew McIntyre, but I am here for Cody Punk WrestleMania main event in Vegas. This is the main event. You know, we talked about it yesterday. I kept wondering to myself, what's the main event going to be? What's the Sunday main event going to be? It's gotta be Cody Punk at this point.
I don't think so. You know, whatever's I've learned, especially over the past, 6 months since I've been covering it,
mm-hmm.
What they want you to think happens is not going to happen.
Never what happens. Yeah. So what's the swerve then? I don't know, but it better be good if they're going to cheat me out of Cody Punk.
I don't know. Like I tweeted a little bit ago. I can't remember. I can't keep track of how many different people have beef with Cody and vice versa. It has to be up to a dozen.
Everyone. And it's this, I'm telling you, Hunter has done a really good job of not necessarily completely telegraphing storylines, but giving you an idea of where it's going to go. And then you get to see how they pull it off down the line. The eventual Cody Rhodes Homelander heel turn is going to be epic. It's going to be fantastic. We're probably a couple years away from it.
When we get to talk about it, what, Thursday? Is that when we're doing our big...
Thursday, LeBar, Justin LeBar, Busted Open Radio, supposed to join us. We'll do a big Royal Rumble preview.
You know what, Mac? I got a video of Triple H, Hammer, and me, LeBar, and Ross.
Oh, I remember that.
You could
when they were in Pittsburgh years ago.
You could play that for us.
What? It was you, LeBar. Was Yoey there too?
No, it was me, LeBar, Rossi, and
Rossi. That's who.
And what's his name was there? What the heck is his name? Now the guy that.
Good job,
David Allen. David Allen was there, but he was too big at the time, so he was in the back. David Allen, the suit guy, he was with us too. So.
I do remember that now. That's fantastic. We got to include that on Thursday's show when we have.
Are we losing any viewers here since we're not talking Art Rooney?
No, let's dive right in. People came here to hear our opinions on Art Rooney, not just from little old me, but from you who was in the room, where it happened. You've never seen Hamilton, have you? You have no idea what I'm referencing when I sing that.
He used to play for the Rangers and the Reds.
Yeah, him too. Okay. So no, the musical Hamilton.
Oh, no, come on!
About the history of our country, you know. That's all.
I saw one play once ever, and it was the Chief. It was actually pretty good.
I did see the Chief years ago when it first came out. It was really good. But Hamilton's a musical. You got to understand. And I hate musicals, but if there are two musicals I like, it's South Park, Bigger, Longer, Uncut, and Hamilton. Those are the two musicals I can get.
Well, I look like a musical guy.
Have you watched the South Park Bigger, Longer, Uncut?
Yeah, I'm a
cartoon.
I'm a Beavis and Butthead guy, so I am pretty loyal to them. I'm not much of a South Park Simpsons guy. I'm a Beavis and Butthead.
Family Guy? Family Guy? All roads lead back to Family Guy.
I can't dedicate myself as a younger individual to multiple cartoons, so it had to be Beavis and Butthead.
I'm
Butthead. Are you Butthead? You look like a Butthead.
Am I Butthead?
You look like Beavis.
No, Beavis has the darker hair, doesn't he?
No, Beavis is a...
I can do Cornholio. I can do that.
Kid does Cornholio.
Here we go. Hold on.
Could at least combed your hair a little bit.
I had a hat on, Cabal. I can't do Cornholio with this hoodie. I can't. Never mind. Okay, let's talk art. We have taken some of these answers that we thought were the most interesting, and we just want to listen to them real quick and then give our opinions on them. First was just the opening statement from Art where he mentioned what he mentioned about the biggest priority this offseason.
Yeah, the quarterback position, for sure. We have some decisions to make there, and I thought both Russ and Justin showed promise in certain stretches during the season, and I think they're both capable of being starters in this league. So we have decisions, and you know, they have decisions too.
So Art saying basically, we've got options, they've got options. Yeah. It's an open relationship between the Steelers and Russ and Justin Fields. First of all, they don't have a ton of options. Let's be honest. There needs to be some desperation. And this is going to be a point I'm going to loop back on a couple times. I understand it. He's not Jerry Jones, and we don't want him to be Jerry Jones. But like a little more desperation, maybe. And he doesn't. You know, a little more urgency, not desperation. That's urgency in his discussion about how they need to get the quarterback position right. I saw Crowley on the Fan Morning Show today said something about how it's ridiculous that they didn't learn anything from the Kenny Pickett failure, which was another thing Art said yesterday. I do think there's gotta be, look, man, it's Sam Darnold or one of these two guys. I mean, there's not a lot out there. I keep seeing Jalen Milroe brought up as a second-round draft pick. Great. Jalen Milroe, assuming he even comes out in the draft, isn't going to be a starter in the NFL next year. You got to figure this out, man. And again, with some urgency.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, we can't just go by his tone of voice or anything like that. That's just his personality is even keel. So you just have to throw that by the wayside. You can't go off of anything, how he sounds or how he interacts or anything.
Okay.
You do have to a lot of times read between the lines right here. And he knows darn well they only got two options, and it's Justin Fields or Russell Wilson. The problem what I have is it basically comes to me, what came across to me is, you know, we'll take whoever comes back. You know, okay, right. We may have a preference, but if he says, no, we'll take the other one, he at least he came out and he – address the so-called elephant in the room. They have to fix the quarterback room. Now, obviously, that's not easy to do. I mean, how do you go? Probably they've tried basically every different avenue known to man with the young guys, the old guys, the draft picks, and nothing tends to work out here over the past 5 to 6 years. But he knows that he addressed that as the main problem and needs to be fixed immediately. You got to be – you're right. You have to make your decision. If it's Justin Fields right now in your mind
– then commit to
it. Go to Justin Fields tomorrow.
Yes.
This is what we want. Now, Justin has all the right in the world to say, nah, we'll wait till, March. But I would approach them hard because, I mean, he sort of waffled a little bit at the beginning. Then he came back to around, and now it's going to be Justin or Russell.
Yeah, and we will loop back around on the quarterback question because one of the last things he was asked about was about quarterbacks too. But I'm not feeling good about the sense of urgency they do or do not have about the quarterback room. I get it. He's not going to pound the table and yell and scream. That's not his personality. But just the things that were said don't really give me a great hope that they're in a hurry. Paranormal in the Funhouse, what a name on YouTube. Loves you. His family or her family, who knows, loves you. They think you should have a Dude Wipes endorsement.
No, Pat does the Dude Wipes, and I've always.
But why can't you have like a side gig for Dude Wipes?
Oh, I just give my theory of how to use the Dude Wipes, man. You got to do dry, wet, dry. You know, I just want to get a shirt that says dry, wet, dry. that's how you use Dude Wipes, right?
Well, yeah, because you can't leave it damp back there. It's like we talked about the other day. When Rikishi's going out giving a non-wipe stink face to Kurt Angle, like whether it was a clean break or not when he dropped off at the bowl.
I call it the once a monther.
Yeah, whether it was a clean break or not, there's still some moisture back there, right? You gotta dry it out.
That's what you gotta do. You use the dry to get the bulk, the wet to clean her up,
yes.
Then the dry to pat it dry.
Pat it dry. No, that's fair. I'm totally with you. I think you've started. That should be the first Kabali and Mac T-shirt. Dry, wet, dry.
There you go. You're the dry one.
So you're the wet one. So this you're is getting weird, dude. I guess.
So you're Beavis and dry, okay.
And you're butthead and wet. I don't know what the hell to make of this anymore. All right. So as he was talking about the being very disappointed in the 5-game losing streak to end the season, Jerry Dulac of the Post-Gazette jumped in and asked him about the conversation or conversations he may have had with Mike Tomlin at the end of the season.
See, maybe Mike do differently. If you talked about things, maybe he needs to do differently. And if, does that include, staff change?
I mean, we talk about the staff all the time, and so that's a process that's ongoing. Other things, probably not things that I'm ready to talk about in here, but, we talk about lots of things in terms of how we try to get better.
Okay, that caught your attention.
Yes, because Okay, what are the other things?
Yeah, exactly. He doesn't want to talk about them right now. So did he actually have a little bit of a come to Jesus moment with Mike last week? Like we didn't think that he would, where he's like, Mike, you gotta stop being so hands-on with everything, brother. You gotta step back and let your coaches be coaches.
It could mean 100 different things. The problem is we'll never find out because it's the only time Art talks during the season. I mean, we're going to have to learn this by just watching and observing, I would assume. I don't know what he could possibly – maybe he tells him – I mean, speculation here. Hey, you got this year to turn it around, and next year we're – that's it. I mean, I don't know. I mean, when you drop something like that, you would love to have a follow-up, but that setting is difficult. I mean, let me give you a setting of what that really looked like.
Come on, Johnny Journo. I want the behind-the-scenes stories.
First, you had the OTC, the original tribal chief, Art Rooney, at the head of the table. Then you had two tables, I guess, perpendicular. Perpendicular? Is that
good job. Yeah.
Where we were all then set up and a little bit turned sideways, right?
Right.
So depending on where you were, your assigned seat was.
Yeah.
Gave you the advantage whether or not to ask multiple questions or not. Because poor Jeff Hathorn was down in, you know, he was up in
up in Narduzzi's office.
Yeah, he was up in peanut heaven. So it was going to be tough for him to get a word in. Now Jerry Dolek's right there, so he has a better opportunity. So that's why you'll probably hear more people's names than others, just how it was set up.
Okay.
I'm just giving you the
Hathorn. Hathorn doesn't care. He'll still get fantastic questions Hardest working man in the city.
Yeah, there was a 12 of us there. There was like 30 some odd questions. I believe three individuals were responsible for more than half of those questions. It's like you just kept getting shouted down. Ah, I hate that. And I just start screaming and making faces. So.
All right. So you think there's definite what do we look for then? Like, so it could be, I mentioned the idea of him telling Mike to back off and let his coaches coach. There's the idea of, hey, don't be so involved in personnel. Like we talked about yesterday, the Philly model where Howie picks the groceries and Sirianni gets to cook. It could have been, like you said, the ultimatum of you better win a playoff game next year or else. I don't think it was that. That's probably the least likely of those three. But what are we looking for over the next few weeks and months that start to give us any kind of signs as to what those other things may have been?
Let's see how hands-on he is at the Senior Bowl. Let's see how hands-on he is at the Combine. And, you know, the him and Omar will be taking the normal pro day trips, mostly to the East Coast, you know, the Clemsons and the Alabamas and the Georgias of the world. I would imagine that would stay true. I mean, what else have you got here? I mean, unless we're just parsing this too much, and maybe he was just caught up in a word salad and said, I don't want to talk about this right now, just to get out of the question. Maybe. I mean, I don't know, right? Sometimes you're like, okay, I don't really want to answer. How am I going to get out of this? You know, I'm just not talking right now.
Yeah, some other things. And I'm going to
I mean, we could be just reading too much.
Yeah. No, this is why I said what I said the other day when I said he's not going to say anything. So he started to say something there. And then, like, to your point, he starts backpedaling. So I do think it's interesting. Look, Mike Tomlin's not going to not go to pro days and not go to the Senior Bowl, right? Yeah. Like, he's going to be there.
Yeah. I mean, I just honestly, I don't know how you would police him getting his hands off of anything. What do you do? No, Mike, you're not taking my company plane to.
Well, no, what he could do is say, hey, maybe be a little less involved and let your people do their jobs. And then if he comes back around to 10-7 in a wild card drubbing, he says, Mike, I asked you specifically to back away and delegate and let your guys do their jobs. And you didn't. You were just as involved as ever. I'm sorry, but I've got to move on. Yeah, I mean, that could go hand in hand with the sort of ultimatum idea that you brought.
I found it quite revealing, or at least interesting in my point, that he let it know that he went and talked to players about Mike.
So which players is Art really taking the time to talk to, though? Like Cam, TJ?
Probably. I doubt if he's going up to George and say, what you think of Mike? I doubt if he's going up to, you know, Ryan McCollum or Beanie Bishop. I'm sure it's the leaders of the team saying, what do you think about Mike? Which is, I mean, what are the younger guys going to say? They're not going to rip on the head coach.
Right. Maybe so who did he? I'm willing to bet he talked to two, maybe three guys. Like him, TJ, maybe a Minka or maybe a Russ.
Well, I give him credit. After every single game, he does keep up the tradition of what his father did, and he's in the locker room, you know, shaking hands and you know, congratulating him and thank you or whatever. So it's not like he's an absentee.
No, I'm not saying he's absentee or that far removed. I'm just wondering, like, involved conversations of more than 4 or 5 minutes.
I would imagine.
Did he really sit down and talk with more than, like, Cam and TJ?
Maybe it's Russell. Maybe it's, I don't know. I mean, it's probably the leaders of the team, you know.
Yeah.
I think he's going to Chris Boswell because he's probably out of there. He's probably not Kuntz or anything like that. But I just found it interesting that he would take the time. I don't know if he said, hey, Cam, come to my office, or if he's, you know, seeing him in the hallway and say, hey, let me ask you something. I mean, I don't know, but at least he did it, and he felt comfortable enough to say that he did.
True. Every great owner should go get the long snapper's opinion. Absolutely.
He's great.
Especially though. If it's Kuntz. Yeah. Or Adam Mitis in Cincy. So he did give a review of what he thought his offensive coordinator did this year.
You know, I think that it is hard to manage a quarterback room with quarterbacks with such different styles. And so I think, you know, going into next year, you know, I'd like to see us go in with a quarterback room that, you know, whoever it is, you kind of have two quarterbacks can run the same system. So I look forward to that being something that we can build on and that Arthur can build on in his second year here. You know, certainly saw some positives and things that we improved on. But again, you know, the end of the season was something didn't expect to see us finish that way.
So he starts off, I think, trying to be somewhat complimentary of Arthur Smith, despite the upheaval at the quarterback position. But then ends up coming back around to, well, we still sucked for the last 5 weeks. I don't know how much credit I can give this guy. That's what it sounded like to me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know. You know, once again, the interesting part of that is the dynamics in the quarterback room, which means he probably wasn't too thrilled, or at least it's been talked about, I would say, internally, of the quarterback dynamic of Russ and Justin being so different.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't sound especially enthused about the job Arthur Smith did, but he also didn't sound like he was necessarily putting that up top for the reason why. Well,
is that when he was asked, was the question was about Arthur Smith, or I can't remember what that question
was. Yeah, it was Noah. Noah asked him about the coordinator,
and he jumped straight to, hey, we need more cohesion in our or more streamlined quarterback room. By the way, Arthur, we'd like to see him. It almost he gave Arthur a pass. Hey, man, it was hard for him to deal with all these changes here, right?
That's what the first half of the answer sounded like, and then the second half of the answer was kind of like, I don't know. We still suck the last 5 weeks anyway.
It was probably like the first three quarters of it is what he believed, and the final part was like, I better say something at least a little negative so, you know, Matt doesn't rip on me or something.
Yeah. Right. He's super concerned, Art Rooney, with what I'm thinking. So he did. I mean, again, a middling review of Arthur Smith, but Arthur Smith isn't going anywhere. This was fun. Our buddy Will Graves from the Associated Press bringing up the obligatory George Pickens line of questioning.
Opportunities still there, but the list of guys that have sort of fit that mold in that room is going back. I mean, 10 years, we've had a guy in there that sort of generated off-the-field stuff or gets fined for on-the-field stuff. You guys have to reevaluate, while being productive players, do you guys have to reevaluate how you evaluate that position?
You know, I think that every team seems to have one or two guys in that room that are, you know, you have to manage them correctly. I still think George has enough talent that we've got to, you know, try to work and see if we can get him to reach his, you know, fulfill the talent that he really has. You know, who knows if we can get there? We'll see. When you have guys that are as talented as some of the guys you're probably thinking of, you try to work with them and you know, have them help you be successful.
Look, when you've got people like AB and they're insane, there's not much more you can do, but just hope that their football outweighs the nonsense off the field. I mean, it would have been a lot shorter.
Yeah. That's exactly what he said. We can only take so much until we can't take it no more, right?
Right.
It seemed like he gave George a vote of confidence to me. It's not like, hey, this guy really, really needs to change his lifestyle or his, not his lifestyle, but change his way he goes about his business on and off the field dramatically. I mean, he alluded to it, but I don't think he really came down on him as hard. I mean, if I didn't get shout down, I was going to ask him about what the organization thought about the iBlack message.
That had to Yeah.
It's not a went over well in the front office at all. But it's the same thing. I mean, you can't – he has so much talent, and they know he has so much talent, so you do have to treat him a little bit differently. I mean, for the most part, I mean, these guys that we're talking about, if it's the Claypools and the ABs and the
– Here's the thing.
At least, I mean, they were productive for a period. Do you weigh the productivity with some of the stuff off the – or – you know, not on the field.
Right.
It's a fine line. It, at some point, it does one overtakes the other. Then you move on from them.
Right. When you're Hall of Fame caliber talent like AB was, you put up with it for a lot longer. You know, when you basically have a flash in the pan of like a solid month and then you disappear the rest of your career like Claypool, obviously you're not going to put up with it for as long. I do find it hilarious, though, that now looking back, this city had its panties in a twist for so long about Juju doing TikTok dances. Like, remember when that was the big deal amongst the wide receiver room? It was like, oh my God, he's dancing on the field. What is he doing? It's like, I mean, compared to the AB drama, compared to Martavis, like you mentioned, Claypool, or even George towards the end of the season, like Juju doing some TikToks was some amateur hour stuff compared to how distracting these guys have been.
Yeah. I mean, Martavis, looking back on it now, he's probably thinking, now, what did I do so wrong?
Right. It's legal now, Art. Bring me back.
What did I do? It was just
He had a little run in the XFL a couple years ago. You remember that?
Wasn't he with the Cowboys a little bit this past year?
Oh, was he?
Vegas. I think he was on their practice squad, but he was a talent. He was extremely talented.
Crazy. Well,
no, ironically, the last playoff game the Steelers won was in Kansas City, right? They won the playoff game. Mm-hmm. 20 minutes later, news broke that he asked to be traded.
But yeah, like Calthrop on YouTube, Juju looks like a buttoned up saint now. You're right. He does. How old is Martavis Bryant now? I don't know. He's got to be in his 30s.
Well, what was that, 14 or something, maybe?
Yeah, it's 10 years ago now.
Years, so probably mid-30s.
Early to mid-30s, yeah.
Boy, he's looking to bring him on already.
I don't think they worry about it at all when they're in the draft process. And maybe that's one of those things where Art says to Mike, hey, you know, this is something we do have to consider. It didn't sound like he was especially concerned with it. I don't know. But like you draft, who were some of the names we were talking about before? Like Emeka Egbuka, right? Out of Ohio State. I haven't heard a whisper about him being any kind of problem in Columbus. Luther Burden in Missouri, if he should fall down to 21, haven't heard a whisper of him being a problem in Columbia. Like if those guys are there, I think it's a whole lot easier to spend maybe a first round pick on them. Knowing that there hasn't been even a trace yet of any kind of stuff that we had about Pickens when he was coming out. And then, you know, now that he's in the league.
What they've done in the past was try to go on the cheap, so to speak, get those talented guys in the second round because they do got red flags.
Yeah.
So it's either you take one in the first round because they're talented and are squeaky clean, or wait till they fall to the second round because half the organizations have took them off their board because they got some red flags, but we can turn them around. That seems like that's been the philosophy of this team for a while now. Let's try to go on the cheap here. We can fix them. And the fix has only been for a couple years before it flips back over.
Like just doing some cursory reading of what's coming in the draft. they don't need to take a defensive lineman in the first round. They don't. I think it's deep enough that they can get that in the 50s, 53 or wherever they pick in the second round.
Hey, what's the first thing Art said?
We need to better
our defensive line. I mean, when he says stuff, that's calculated.
Yeah.
He said quarterback defensive line. So right there, I'm thinking, bing, let's look at free agency draft. That's the two things we're looking at, right?
But I'd be much happier with a wide receiver in the first round. And that doesn't mean you can't add one via free agency too, because the room needs filled out. But a wide receiver in the first round and a D lineman in the second round. I'm not saying you have to pigeonhole yourself into those spots, but those have to be things I think that you're looking at. Because the problem is there is not a quarterback in this draft, I don't think anyway, that is going to be worth the pick in, say, the first 50 spots.
I just don't think there is. He said, well, we'll probably go in the draft either this year or next. So
Drew Aller. Look out, Drew Aller.
That's the set. Oh, yeah.
You were going to swear.
No.
I
was going to say, wasn't that like a couple weeks ago? Boy, he would look good in the Steelers uniform right now. Then all of a sudden it turned into no completions to any wide receiver in the semifinals.
Well, that's not his fault that he had shit wide receivers, Mark. I mean.
Oh, it was his fault that he threw a pick.
It's his fault he threw the ball back across his body at the worst possible time. I'm not disputing that. But there is a lot. I have been crushed by people before on social media for saying there's a little bit of Roethlisberger in the way Aller plays. I'm not saying he's going to be the next Ben Roethlisberger. I'm not. But there is some Roethlisberger in the way he plays. Going back to his first year as a starter last year, where he extends the play, he's got his head up looking downfield, he's willing to gamble with some throws now and then, Notre Dame. That wasn't even a gamble. That was just stupid. But like he's got some Ben in there. I'm not saying he's going to be Ben Roethlisberger, but there's some Ben in there. I'm just saying. I'm not saying they should draft Drew Aller next year.
Saying but not saying.
Exactly. We'll get back to quarterbacks in just a second. A couple more things. Actually, I'm going to tie the next two together because I think it's very interesting. I'm flipping the order of how the questions were asked because I think it's more illuminating this way. Late in the meeting you guys had with Art Rooney II yesterday, Brooke Pryor of ESPN asked about Mike Tomlin and whether he's still the guy and why Art believes that, right? But there was a question asked by Mike Pursuta at a different time that I think I actually want to hear first because it asks specifically about the team's mentality in a spot that I think a lot of people noticed.
What was your perception of the defense, how it was playing?
In the Baltimore
game. The engagement level, the fight in the defense in that game.
Well, I mean, it wasn't good enough. Let's say that. It wasn't good enough. I think that we were a team that was coming off, four losses in a row and we may have had some confidence problems going into that game. I don't know for sure, but, it was not a great performance. And like I said, hard to overcome that, but we will.
Basically saying, yeah, our defense looked like they didn't care at times against Baltimore. He's not wrong.
Are you trying to get rid of me here for a second?
No, I hit the wrong button. What's interesting to me is he says that, right? Like he's basically admitting to Mike Pursuta there. Yeah. Those guys that look kind of like they gave up there at times against Baltimore when Derrick Henry was steamrolling them and, Derrick Henry's eating Minka's lunch and all that. Like that says something to me. Yeah. Stiff arm right to the mush. He buried him. That says something to me about they had no fight left in them. But then Brooke asked about, and actually she asked this question earlier, like I said, I'm flipping the order, about what he saw from Mike Tomlin and the reaction of the guys down the final stretch of the season.
With Mike, you knew he was the right guy because he could keep guys engaged for a full season and keep them fighting, to make the playoffs last year. given the 5-game losing streak to end this season, do you still feel like his message is getting through to the players in the locker room? Or are they still staying engaged for a whole season?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's fair to question it after losing 5 in a row. But, you know, when I talk to the players, you know, I think the players still want to play for Mike. You know, so I'm not concerned about his message or that, you know, that kind of an issue.
So those are two conflicting answers to me, in my opinion, Mark, unless I'm reading them wrong somehow. One answer says, yeah. And again, I'm paraphrasing, putting a couple words in his mouth, but yeah, we look like we gave up against Baltimore. And the other answer is, well, no, I don't think guys gave up on Mike. I think they were engaged the whole way down the stretch, and he still gets a response from them. Those two don't jive for me.
I know there's one part of his conversation. He said after losing those last 4 that they went into Baltimore with some sort of confidence issues.
Yeah.
So maybe just the sense of losing those 4 games led to something what we saw in the Baltimore playoff game rather than tuning out the head coach.
There could be a lack of confidence at that point in maybe your quarterback because he wasn't playing as well. Okay, I'll grant you that. There could be a lack of confidence in other guys on the defensive side of the ball, or maybe a lack of confidence in your defensive coordinator to come up with the right game plan against Lamar and Derrick Henry, right? Okay, maybe a little bit of a lack of confidence, but isn't all of that reflective? I mean, it all reflects back on the head coach at some point, especially when your head coach, mentioned this a million times, is focused on the defense first and foremost. It's just weird, man. It very much, the more I think about it, sounds like, hey, I'm going to give Mike another chance here.
Yeah,
he deserves it.
You know, what else did he say? He said about the stability of the head coaches. And it's very unusual for Art to come out and say, well, look at the other teams in the league. There are 7 or 8 coaches every single year. We want to be the model of stability. And I think that says it in a nutshell about the organization. I mean, like we haven't even known that already, but he actually came out and said that for him, it's more important to have that just to add pieces to what he already believes is a good coach. And I mean, you can criticize Tomlin all you want and rightfully so over the last decade. He's still a good coach. I mean, you're not going to convince me to say that all of a sudden he's a terrible coach. And no, he's a good coach. Does he need help? Yes. Do they need everything to come together for it to work? Yes. I think it's proven that you need just more than one guy to make a winning franchise there with the head coach. So I think that's a big thing with him, obviously, was the stability issue. And he was almost dismissive of course we're keeping Mike Tomlin, you know.
Well, yeah, and I didn't expect Art to come in and crush Mike Tomlin or nothing like that. And I think it's a really valid point, and it's a logical one that you make that a lot of people need to remind themselves of, like, hey, you don't have 18 non-losing seasons without being a halfway decent head coach at the NFL level. Yes, he had a Hall of Fame quarterback for the majority of that time. Got it. Noted. Fine. But you don't get to that point without being a decent football coach. And Mike Tomlin is a very good football coach. But I'm going to throw this analogy back at you because it's been used a ton by Steeler fans over the last 48 hours and really the last few years. Andy Reid was a very good football coach in Philly. At a certain point, it didn't work there anymore. He went to Kansas City, had a terrible year, got on his feet, found a quarterback, and maybe that's the lesson to be learned here, found a Hall of Fame quarterback, and he looks like the best coach in the history of the game now next to Belichick.
Yeah, Belichick same way. I mean, he was the greatest coach in the world until he wasn't, until he didn't have a quarterback as well. So those things tend to happen. I don't know. I'm just looking at these comments over here, man. These people are trying to distract me, man.
What are they? Which one jumps out at you the most?
Some
ones that you can repeat on the stream. Like, Because there was some crazy stuff being mentioned back there earlier. By
I want to know why Link D thinks they need help with the offensive line. I think that might be the strongest partner of the team right now, or at least the most has the most potential right now.
I'm with you. I don't think the O-line needs much help. I just think they need to get Broderick Jones to a point where he pulls his head out of his ass.
They got four young guys and a guy who's making the Pro Bowl.
Seems pretty good to me. And look, here's the thing. I hear this a lot, too, from Dwayne. As fans, it's exhausting listening to the same dribble from Tomlin and Art. At some point, decisions will be made by the fans. I personally know many that have stopped watching. I'm not there yet, .. I don't know how many people are walking away. Like, this is going to sound sort of cliched, but, like, this is something that's been passed down to us from our parents and our grandparents. And by this, I mean being Steelers fans. Like, I don't know about you, but, like, I'm not all of a sudden going to give up, walk away, and become a, I don't know, a 49ers fan or an Eagles fan. Like, I'm a Steelers fan because I'm a Yinzer at heart, and that's why I'm always going to be a fan. Like, I'm not walking away from the team because I think they should go in a different direction.
We're sitting here, end of January, Super Bowl set.
Yeah.
Penguins are in full season, although they're terrible. Pirates are about ready to hit Bradenton, but they stink. But yet we're sitting here arguing if the Steelers have 27 coaches or 20 coaches on their staff right now. So what does that tell you?
Art did not like that line of questioning, by the way.
He was ready for it.
He was.
I mean, honestly, it's true. I just did real quick search, and I looked today at the Kansas City Chiefs. They have 30 people listed as their coaching staff.
Okay.
They have doctors and training staff and all this garbage listed in their 30. If you minus all those out of there, which the Steelers do not count, they would have something like 22, and the Steelers would have 19. So when he said, you know, it all depends on how you count them, it's true. It's honestly true. Okay, they're a little bit on the lower end, yeah, but it's not like it's a huge gap.
Yeah.
He was ready for it. He was definitely ready for it. He was setting that on the tee because I know it's coming.
It is interesting to me, and I'm not faulting anybody for asking about it, but, like, it's interesting to me that the coaching staff has been, like, aside from Mike Tomlin, it has been such a focus over the last few weeks. Yeah. Like, I don't, look, I get it. Terrell Austin could maybe shoulder some blame or be a scapegoat for the defense falling apart down the stretch.
He's a guy that seems coming out of this scot clean.
He is.
When it talks about defense, it's like, yeah, Terrell Austin, but, you know, it's Tomlin is screwing everything up.
Like Kabali's rear end after a dude wipe. Totally clean.
Dry, wet, dry, baby. Try.
Dry, wet, dry. Brian on X wants to know if you think the new Little Debbie oatmeal cream pie is too much. The old regular one for 25 cents was perfect. Who buys an individual cream pie, Brian?
You know, it's funny you should say that. I went to the Sheets down the road here.
Which one? The Curry Hollow?
Yeah, I don't know wherever it is. Down by Levin, wherever that is.
Yeah, Curry Hollow.
So I went down there, and I remember buying, no, this is youth. It wasn't that long ago, getting like those little Debbie, whatever they are. What are the white ones? Zebra cakes.
Zebra cakes.
Each. I look at them now. They're like $2.50 for one of them. Like, well, what does this happen? Just for an individual.
No, nobody buys an individual oatmeal cream pie, though.
You are if you're like traveling on the road and – you were cheap as me.
I guess. But I mean, like, if we get them, we get the box, right? You get like 12 in a box.
Now, when you get the oatmeal cream pies, do you get like the extra large ones?
No. They got to be the, like, I don't know, yay big. Like,
when you grab it, do you smack it and make it pop?
No. That goes everywhere. Why you got to make a bigger mess?
I haven't had an oatmeal cream pie in years, but
they're so good. When people started talking about Saban eating them for breakfast, I was on an oatmeal cream pie kick for a while. I was like, hey, if they're good enough for the goat, they're good enough for me. But, yeah. I mean.
My kid's into Twinkies.
Yeah, the Twinkies, Zebra cakes were the bomb back in high school. Those were the perfect, like Brian said, lunch dessert.
Now, they got Zebra cakes, and they got the Zebra, like, little whatever looks like a big ho-ho. I'm more into the old round Zebra cakes, but I digress.
digress all you want. CR on X mentioned that Arthur Smith had Derrick Henry in a badass O-line while he was in Nashville. This ain't Nashville. A quarterback who could throw down the middle, too, and was tall enough to see the middle of the field. Neither one of these guys is tall enough to see over his O-line, Kaboom. That's a good point by CR.
What is the most Yinzer thing to bring up? The coaching staff, the non-playoff wins, or throwing the ball over the middle? This year it's turned into the old toss play.
When's the last time they consistently threw the ball in the middle of the field for an entire season?
In the middle. I saw Pomp saying,
Heath.
Well,
Heath is the last time.
Okay. I saw Pomp the other day saying, well, you know, the Bills game. I can't remember now. Oh, he threw it in the middle of the field. No, it was like a quick slant. It was between the numbers and the hashes. Is that considered the middle of the field? What's exactly the middle of the field?
Yeah, that's the middle of the field. When's the last time the Steelers ran a quick slant?
That's not the middle of the field. That's between the numbers and the hashes. It was like when I used to play like pickup football. I used to be the tight end. I used to run 5 yards out and either turn left or turn right. That's the middle of the field. Right?
You got to get the kids signed up for flag football, by the way. You complain that you never get the bulletins about when youth sports are starting up here in our neighborhood. There's flag football this spring. You got to get them signed up.
You're too slow for that, though.
You don't have to be terrifically fast.
I know. What's he going to do? Be an offensive lineman on flag football?
Oh, he'll run some short routes in the middle of the damn field.
That's true. He could be like Mark Andrews. Yes.
Yeah. Little Connor Hayward action, right?
Connor Hayward.
All right, one last clip from Art. I want to let people hear. And it circles back, loops back on everything we started talking about and everything we're going to talk about all year long. It's how do you plan on solving your quarterback problem?
Justin or Russ be someone that you could take the next step with?
You know, I think they're both capable quarterbacks. My preference would be to sign one of them, so that'll be the priority, and I think that will give us the best opportunity to move forward. Obviously, we'll be looking in the draft as well. We've got a whole quarterback room to fill, and so there's jobs open in there, and so I wouldn't be surprised if we look in the draft as well, either this year or next, and so that's got to be the priority.
No, I think I just figured this out now. Hearing this clip, I know which direction they're going.
Okay.
Who did they sign to the practice squad recently or the futures?
Skylar frickin' Thompson.
Okay. What kind of a quarterback is Skylar Thompson?
So they're going to do the old Baltimore thing where all your quarterbacks are mobile running quarterbacks?
He mentioned it, right? He mentioned he would like to have a streamline that offense or the quarterback room. So if you're already the only guy you have under contract fits this bill, doesn't that make sense that the rest of them fall in line there?
Another reason to believe that they would prefer Fields, right?
Justin Fields is a good quarterback. They're going to go draft Jalen Milroe, have him as the number two, have Skylar Thompson as the number three. There you go.
Nate on YouTube said something similar to me. Sounds like he wants Fields because he said something about age. Thoughts on that? Well, yeah, obviously I think they want a younger quarterback. Like, they don't want Russ at 36 coming back and kicking this can down the road any longer. I will give Art that much credit. Like, he at the very least understands, like I mentioned urgency before. I don't feel it maybe in the tone of his voice, but he knows they've got to fix quarterback before they can do anything else. My question is not the urgency of recognizing the problem, Mark. It's the urgency of fixing the problem.
How do you do it, though? I mean, if there was a book or what do you call that? The old Cliff Notes of how to get a franchise quarterback, you'd be a billionaire, man. Maybe he is a billionaire. Whatever. What I'm saying is it's not the easiest thing to do to just be able to find a franchise quarterback. Even the ones you think that are going to be can't miss. So it's not like it's a formula.
I'll say this. I do think giving Fields like a red shirt year helps him develop more and get more comfortable if he comes back, right? Like, if he comes back, he's going to feel a whole lot more comfortable in the offense. If he looked as good as he did in the first six games this past year, and could take that up just another 10 to 15%. Okay, well, now we're talking about a 12-win team maybe. Now we're talking about a division winner with a quarterback that you can believe in long-term.
But, you know, another thing is we sort of have revisionist history about those first six games. Okay, he played well enough to win. But how many times, how fortunate did he get with turnovers? It should have been picks
Fair.
That we dropped. There had to be four or five fumbles that he owned. And those things tend to yeah. even out over the, as we saw with Russell, over the season. Those things tend to end up. That's been the knock on him forever, though, you know, taking care of the ball. You just can't say he only turned the ball over twice in his first six games, so he's fixed it. I think he got extremely fortunate over those games.
That's a fair criticism, especially the fumbles. Those drove me nuts. You got to be more careful with the football. You can't just put it on the ground.
And like they recovered every single one of them, I believe.
Yeah.
Maybe except for them, maybe.
Almost all of them. But it's a fair criticism to levy on Fields and something he has to clean up if he's going to be the guy going forward. I go back to this. Okay, fine. If you want all your quarterbacks to look similar in so much as how they play the game, fine. Fields is your one. Skylar Thompson is your three, I guess. And like you said, maybe you go and get somebody in the draft. Jalen Milroe, right? Jalen Milroe, if he comes out, and I don't think that's been guaranteed yet because of how crappy he played in the Michigan game, in the bowl game.
Is he in the Senior Bowl?
Is he in the Senior Bowl? Is that guaranteed?
Yeah, I know he's in the Senior Bowl, but I don't know if you can. I'm not quite sure about the rules if you can go back or not after the Senior Bowl and say, nah, you know, I think I'm going back.
That's a good question, actually.
I don't know if there's a drop. There used not to be, but I thought there was. I'd have to look that up.
I don't know. There's enough buzz around Milroe now, I guess, that there's no reason to believe that if he goes to the Senior Bowl.
Drafting him the second or whatever and put him as a three and bring in a two.
I'm not drafting Jalen Milroe in the second round. I'm sorry.
I'm staying second day, whatever.
Third round, maybe. Maybe. The only quarterback in this draft, once you get past Ward and Sanders, who I don't think are even, they're barely first rounders, but they're both going to go top five. The only quarterback in this draft that is maybe worth the second round pick is Jackson Dart from Ole Miss. That's it. Everybody else is fourth round and beyond. So I think it's a reach to take Milroe in the third. Even.
How about forget it? How about a bunch of 1 year deals for Russell? Bring in Daniel Jones.
Oh,
bring
Jesus.
Kyle Allen. And there you got it. Would you rather have Daniel Jones, Russell Wilson, and Kyle Allen or Justin Fields? I can't even think of a guy who would fit that bill as a number two than Milroe and Thompson, free agent wise.
God.
I have to look up the
free agent. It would be like Snoop Huntley's a free agent, I think, isn't he?
Yeah, okay, I'll pass on that.
That kind of guy. I mean, that kind of style quarterback, right, is what you're talking about. A highly mobile quarterback. Huntley was the two behind Lamar for a long time in Baltimore. Anyway, I don't know. If the quarterback situation is the top priority, maybe you got to be more aggressive in fixing it this offseason. The same way they were aggressive last year, right? They were aggressive in going after a different look at quarterback last year. Credit to Omar. They went after Russ. They traded for Fields. They traded Pickett when he got whiny. So they did all the right things to try and remake the quarterback room as much as they could on the fly. Now they've had a year to sit there and look at it and see what it should look like. And I get it. There's not as many quarterback resources out there in the draft or free agency, but maybe even a little bit more aggression. I don't know. Maybe there's somebody that we don't even think of right now who might be available.
Josh Dobbs.
Jesus. Okay, that's enough out of you. I think we're done.
Or Russell Mason Rudolph. Bring him back. Well, why would he come back?
Why? Yeah.
See, it's not that easy finding a franchise quarterback now, is it?
You're making excuses, Cabali. That's all you're doing is making excuses for the billionaire owner. Real quick, Brian on Twitter did have a very good question. Have you ever had Jim's Hot Dogs in West Mifflin?
It's been a while, but yes, I have. I'm going out on a limb here, but I will say I'm more of a Red Caboose guy.
Real? Well, that's out your way.
I live like three blocks from you.
Where you grew up, I mean. You grew up right down the street from the Red Caboose.
15 minutes away from where I grew up at, man. That's like an Elizabeth.
It's a whole hell of a lot closer than driving all the way up to, what's it called?
Jim's.
Yeah, Jim's.
I want to Jim's. Gym. I think I'm only one.
Ollie's Lookout.
I mean, just go into the old Red Caboose. Ooh.
Never had the Red Caboose. Never been there.
What is your
Jim's? Jim's I've had. Jim's is fantastic. When back in my old Daily News days, middle of the route, you would stop and you'd get some Jim's hot dogs to power you through the second half of the route.
See, the Red Caboose brought the fries, cheese fries back, a couple hot dogs, sit out on the
when route. It's nice out, yeah, you know, you got the parking lot there, sit at a picnic
table. The problem with the parking lot is if it gets a little wet and sloppy, you don't want to go there.
No.
They tend to shut it down at that point. But it was, you know, when was that? When I was driving to Baltimore, I drive that way on that Saturday of 2 weeks ago, and a little more than 2 weeks ago, and
it was open.
It was open. I'm thinking,
was it a nice? It wasn't a nice day that day though, was it?
It was cold. It was snowing a little, if I recall.
Okay,
but it was open.
All right. This has been the latest edition of Cabali and Mac. A reminder, if you want to be one of those sponsors that's jumping on board in February, feel free to reach out to us. We appreciate each and every one of you for watching, however you watched on X, on Instagram, on Facebook, on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe so that you get notified, including later in the week when we'll go live with our good buddy Justin Labar. We're only going to have guests from our neighborhood, I guess, from the TJ School District. Justin Labar of Busted Open Radio will join us to talk about the Royal Rumble and whatever else happens in Steelers land and Pittsburgh.
He's a huge Commanders fan, so he's
probably. I know. I texted him about it when I was talking to him about coming on the show, and he was feeling okay. He was very tentative going into Sunday, and I didn't blame him for that. But I don't want to crush him for that. That's tough.
Why not?
You're such a jerk sometimes. He's Mark Cabali. I'm Chris Mack. This has been the latest edition of Cabali and Mack. We'll talk to you again soon. Bye.